Tonight, we begin together our Lenten journey. Lent is a season of preparation that begins within our own hearts, and it leads us through the valley of the shadow of death to the cross, all the way to the no more tears and no more crying of Resurrection Sunday. As I begin this reflection, let's catch our breaths together after a busy day. Would you close your eyes with me, be silent for just a few moments, and become aware of God's presence with us now. If we claim to be without sin, we read in 1 John, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. On the other hand, the story continues that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive. Tonight, Ash Wednesday finds us in the midpoint of that scripture, or as Brueggemann's poem says, half expectant, half turned toward Christ. Half, rather not. And while our story began in the company of God and in an innocent garden, Ash Wednesday reminds us of the grand interruption, that catastrophic climax in this story of creation where innocence was bent into sin. Guilt entered the world, and our story took a turn for the worse. Our own individual stories, even tonight, reflect the same interruption, and this is what Lent reminds each of us of. Lent is the season between tonight and Easter, and these weeks remind us that our communion with Christ has been interrupted, reminds us that the garden got messy, reminds us that sin and shame entered the picture, and toil entered the picture, and pain entered the picture, and that they, our original mother and father, much like many of us still do, decided to run away from God instead of towards Him. Ash Wednesday serves to slow us down so that we can consider this interrupted communion, so that in the midst of our busy days and hectic nights and chore-filled weekends, we might just for one evening settle into the reality of what is actually our crushing need for a Savior. But why? Why remember these things? Isn't the latest political news depressing enough? Isn't all the illness and the war around us daunting enough? Isn't day-to-day life challenging enough? Why also take time to pay attention to the cosmic break between God and humanity, between God and us? Because we so easily forget the momentous nature of the grace and goodness of God. We so easily forget how powerful and how healing His presence is. We are limited creatures. We are easily distracted. And grace grabs us by the cheeks, Ash Wednesday grabs us by the cheeks, says, look into my eyes, not to punish us or to shame us, but to remind us of the richness of God's mercy, the eye of the good Father on His children. Brueggemann wrote in the poem that we just read that all our Wednesdays are marked by ashes of failed hope and broken promises. Isaiah reminded us earlier that we all like sheep have gone astray. We've failed and we've broken things and we've been failed and we've been broken. And in the middle of all of this failure and brokenness, it's the Old Testament prophet Joel who says to us, rend your hearts and not your garments. It's not primarily an outward sign that this day needs, rather it's an inward sigh. We need yet again to give in, to give up, to remember that we cannot bridge the gap that we all find in this story, to remember that we need God. To rend means to split in two, to tear apart, and this Lent we tear up all our own trying and we toss it out. And we tear up all our distractions and we toss them out. We tear up our comforts and we toss them out, and we try to tear up our sin and throw it at the feet of our Jesus. And we do this in order to make space for Christ and to join in some very small way with the sufferings of our Jesus. In a world where lies seem to cover more territory than truth, and in a world where it's hard to tell what's real anymore, where everything is filtered and airbrushed and faked into a mockery of perfection, we need the God honest truth more than ever. And in this way, looking at the honest truth about failed hope and broken promises is almost refreshing, because honest truth does indeed set us free. Because one clear-eyed look at these poisoned waters of our impossible politics and our failed policies, and one clear-eyed look at the toxic murkiness of our own muddied souls tells us what we need is to be scoured clean. We know that there is something wrong in the world, but what these ashes remind us of tonight is that that something is found in each of us. That something is ours to own, that there is a thread that runs through all of humanity, and it is a thread of incompleteness. No progress progresses far enough. No love loves deep enough. That's what sin means. Nothing is ever enough. That's what sin did to the world, and it's what sin did to each of us. And while I do believe that most of humanity does the best it can, and while I believe that I do the best I can, and while I believe that you all do the best that you can, do not we all together feel the weighty reality of these words? You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Lent reminds us that we're thirsty for God, and it invites us to trade our muddy springs with his pure and quenching presence. So skipping a meal each day over Lent can remind us of our hungry spiritual desperation. Exchanging a free evening of Netflix with community and fellowship in a small group can remind us that we are all a part of the larger body of Christ. Trading money spent on coffee for money given to the poor can remind us that we're not just called to tweet about lives of mercy and justice, we are actually called to live them. Doing something sacrificial in this season reminds us to seek comfort only in Christ. To give up our God simulations and to live and to sacrifice as though the story we say we believe is actually true. Before the sun sets, Brueggemann writes, take our Wednesday and Easter us. And the prophet Daniel reminded us that the Lord is merciful and forgiving, so we know the end of this story. The story of Christ, of grace, of the loving kindness of God, that's our story. It's the story that God has told, is telling, and will continue to tell here in our community. It's a story of our redemption. It's a story of your healing, of being better together. It's a story of learning how to be a multi-ethnic and multi-generational community. It's a story of raising up young people to be innovative sharers of Jesus in this world. It's the story of navigating our doubts together. It's the story of wrestling through all of our weariness and of choosing to be people of action who live out faith and hope in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our prisons, in our cities, on the streets, and everywhere we go. It's the story that reminds us over and over and over again that love is real and that God is true and that everyone belongs to Him. Remember this, my sisters and my brothers, no matter how muddy the waters become, no matter how toxic the lying, no matter what you've broken or how you've been broken, no matter that all our days are marked by ashes, no matter that we're half turned toward Christ, half rather not, no matter, remember this, Jesus rewrote our stories when He entered into us. And His story, my friends, is true. In a few moments, we will invite you up and we will mark your forehead with a cross of ash and we will say, remember, it is from dust that you have come and to dust you will return. And later, we will end our service in absolution, which just means a statement of forgiveness. That's how this story ends. Know that you are reconciled, accepted, and loved by God. As we ourselves are transformed from by His power from these ashen earthly vessels into the wounded yet redeemed body of Christ in our world, as we are transformed into this thing that is the church, we become together the prophetic signpost in our dry and dusty land that calls out to the rest of the world, you are not alone. You are welcomed. You are wanted. And you are loved. Ash Wednesday invites us into a season of saying no to some things or of saying yes to others. This is known as abstaining or participating. During Lent, we abstain from some things to make more space for God, and we participate in others to make more space for God. Because it's in God that we live and move and find our being. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents from punishing. As we end, I want to give you 1 minute of silence to consider how God is inviting you to participate or to abstain over this season of Lent. For those of you who are a part of this church community, I would particularly invite you to consider participating, if you aren't yet, in one of our smaller group communities around the city, because we actually really do believe that we are better together. And now, I invite you to the observation of Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer and fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditation on God's word. And to make a right beginning of repentance, let us now invite God to examine our hearts as we wait together in silence before Him.